Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from His very presence as the fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to Him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as the rest of men," expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of His purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings He came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom He declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, He first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you." Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of His love, His grace, His righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of His grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto Him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you His arms of love and His robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of His own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin, and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel. But the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy. And in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. Happy is the man that God correcteth. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with a ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of his presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold his dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears they do not discern him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to him in simple faith, permitting him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon him and meditate upon his loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a realm of peace. Think of this, children of suffering and sorrow, and rejoice in hope. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ills we see, the mysteries of sorrow deep and long, the dark enigmas of permitted wrong, have all one key. This strange, sad world is but our Father's school. All chance and change his love shall overrule. What though today thou canst not trace at all the hidden reason for his strange dealings through the trial season, trust and obey, in afterlife and light all shall be plain and clear. Blessed are they also who weep with Jesus in sympathy with the world's sorrow and in sorrow for its sin. In such mourning there is intermingled no thought of self. Jesus was the man of sorrows, enduring heart anguish such as no language can portray. His spirit was torn and bruised by the transgressions of men. He toiled with self-consuming zeal to relieve the wants and woes of humanity, and his heart was heavy with sorrow as he saw multitudes refuse to come to him that they might have life. All who are followers of Christ will share in this experience. As they partake of his love, they will enter into his travail for the saving of the lost. They share in the sufferings of Christ, and they will share also in the glory that shall be revealed. One with him in his work, drinking with him the cup of sorrow, they are partakers also of his joy. It was through suffering that Jesus obtained the ministry of consolation. In all the affliction of humanity, he was afflicted. And in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In this ministry, every soul that has entered into the fellowship of his sufferings is privileged to share. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Lord has special grace for the mourner, and its power is to melt hearts, to win souls. His love opens a channel into the wounded and bruised soul and becomes a healing balsam to those who sorrow. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Blessed are the meek. Throughout the Beatitudes there is an advancing line of Christian experience. Those who have felt their need of Christ, those who have mourned because of sin and have sat with Christ in the school of affliction, will learn meekness from the divine teacher. Patience and gentleness under wrong were not characteristics prized by the heathen or by the Jews. The statement made by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was the meekest man upon the earth would not have been regarded by the people of his time as a commendation. It would rather have excited pity or contempt. But Jesus places meekness among the first qualifications for his kingdom. In his own life and character, the divine beauty of this precious grace is revealed. Jesus, the brightness of the Father's glory, thought it not a thing to be grasped, to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Through all the lowly experiences of life, he consented to pass, walking among the children of men, not as a king to demand homage, but as one whose mission it was to serve others. There was in his manner no taint of bigotry, no cold austerity. The world's Redeemer had a greater than angelic nature, yet united with his divine majesty were meekness and humility that attracted all to himself. Jesus emptied himself, and in all that he did, self did not appear. He subordinated all things to the will of his Father. When his mission on earth was about to close, he could say, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And he bids us, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the soul." He who beholds Christ in his self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say, as did Daniel when he beheld one like the sons of men, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption." The independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to Satan. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest, but he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice, but we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for His hand to lead, listening for His voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience, and he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." When we receive Christ as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Savior's life on earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. When angry enemies were constantly pursuing him, he said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." No storm of human or satanic wrath could disturb the calm of that perfect communion with God. And he says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Bear with me the yoke of service for the glory of God in the uplifting of humanity, and you will find the yoke easy and the burden light." It is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is all alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. We shall be deaf to reproach and blind to scorn and insult. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh no account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Happiness drawn from earthly sources is as changeable as varying circumstances can make it. But the peace of Christ is a constant and abiding peace. It does not depend upon any circumstances in life, on the amount of worldly goods or the number of earthly friends. Christ is the fountain of living water, and happiness drawn from Him can never fail. The meekness of Christ manifested in the home will make the inmates happy. It provokes no quarrel. It gives back no angry answer, but soothes the irritated temper and diffuses a gentleness that is felt by all within its charmed circle. Wherever cherished, it makes the families of earth a part of the one great family above. Far better would it be for us to suffer under false accusation than to inflict upon ourselves the torture of retaliation upon our enemies. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated with Satan and can bring only evil to him who cherishes it. Lowliness of heart, that meekness which is the fruit of abiding in Christ, is the true secret of blessing. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Quiet from God, how beautiful to keep this treasure the All-Merciful hath given, to feel when we awake and when we sleep its incense around us like a breath from heaven, to sojourn in the world and yet apart, to dwell with God and still with man to feel, to bear about forever in the heart the gladness which His Spirit doth reveal. The meek shall inherit the earth. It was through the desire for self-exaltation that sin entered into the world, and our first parents lost the dominion over this fair earth, their kingdom. It is through self-abnegation that Christ redeems what was lost, and He says we are to overcome as He did. Through humility and self-surrender, we may become heirs with Him when the meek shall inherit the earth. The earth promised to the meek will not be like this, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. We, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. There is no disappointment, no sorrow, no sin. No one shall say, I am sick. There are no burial trains, no mourning, no death, no partings, no broken hearts. But Jesus is there. Peace is there. There they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for He that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall He guide them. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is holiness, likeness to God, and God is love. It is conformity to the law of God, for all thy commandments are righteousness, and love is the fulfilling of the law. Righteousness is love, and love is the light and life of God. The righteousness of God is embodied in Christ. We receive righteousness by receiving Him, not by painful struggles or wearisome toil, not by gift or sacrifice is righteousness obtained, but it is freely given to every soul who hungers and thirsts to receive it. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, without money and without price. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, and this is His name whereby He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. No human agent can supply that which will satisfy the hunger and thirst of the soul. But Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. As we need food to sustain our physical strength, so do we need Christ, the bread from heaven, to sustain spiritual life and impart strength to work the works of God. As the body is continually receiving the nourishment that sustains life and vigor, so the soul must be constantly communing with Christ, submitting to Him and depending wholly upon Him. As the weary traveler seeks the spring in the desert and finding it quenches his burning thirst, so will the Christian thirst for and obtain the pure water of life, of which Christ is the fountain. The more we discern the perfection of our Savior's character, we shall desire to become wholly transformed and renewed in the image of His purity. The more we know of God, the higher will be our ideal of character, and the more earnest our longing to reflect His likeness. A divine element combines with the human when the soul reaches out after God, and the longing heart can say, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." If you have a sense of need in your soul, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, this is an evidence that Christ has wrought upon your heart in order that He may be sought unto to do for you through the endowment of the Holy Spirit those things which it is impossible for you to do for yourself. We need not seek to quench our thirst at shallow streams, for the great fountain is just above us, of whose abundant waters we may freely drink, if we will rise a little higher in the pathway of faith. The words of God are the well springs of life. As you seek unto those living springs, you will, through the Holy Spirit, be brought into communion with Christ. Familiar truths will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect. Texts of Scripture will burst upon you with a new meaning as a flash of light. You will see the relation of other truths to the work of redemption, and you will know that Christ is leading you. A divine teacher is at your side. Jesus said, "The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." As the Holy Spirit opens to you the truth, you will treasure up the most precious experiences and will long to speak to others of the comforting things that have been revealed to you. When brought into association with them, you will communicate some fresh thought in regard to the character or the work of Christ. You will have some fresh revelation of His pitying love to impart to those who love Him and those who love Him not. Give, and it shall be given unto you, for the Word of God is a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. The heart that has once tasted the love of Christ cries out continually for a deeper draft, and as you impart, you will receive in richer and more abundant measure. Every revelation of God to the soul increases the capacity to know and to love. The continual cry of the heart is, "More of Thee," and ever the Spirit's answer is, "Much more." For our God delights to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. To Jesus, who emptied Himself for the salvation of lost humanity, the Holy Spirit is given without measure. So it will be given to every follower of Christ when the whole heart is surrendered for His indwelling. Our Lord Himself has given the command, "Be filled with the Spirit," and this command is also a promise of its fulfillment. It was the good pleasure of the Father that in Christ should all the fullness dwell, and in Him ye are made full. God has poured out His love unstintedly as the showers that refresh the earth. He says, "Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together." When the poor and needy seek water, and there is no...
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla, and I will be co-hosting with Sister Deborah. She will be coming on to continue hosting. Again, I just want to thank you for joining us and thank the Lord, because He said where there's one or two gather in His name, He's in the midst. And we just want to thank those who are joining us also via the internet. Welcome. And I pray that all had a wonderful week thus far. And I'll offer a word of prayer and we can go into sharing our testimonies, our scripture reading, you know, what we're reading, our thoughts on our devotion, or just talking of the goodness of God and sharing and also encouraging others. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for You have brought us this far, Lord. It is not we ourselves. We cannot know, you know, how longer we'll be on this earth, what will happen day to day, Lord. But You know, You have created us in Your image, Lord, Even while we were yet in our mother's womb, you have called us forth. You saw fit that we would be able to come on this earth to represent you. Help us, Father, where we have failed and come short. Help us to and remind us of the purpose that you have called each and every one of us. We're all special in your sight. There's no one better than the other, Lord. But you have given us gifts and talent to use for your glory. Help us to remember that. Help us to use them to glorify you and not self. And if we have failed, Lord, please forgive us and help us to renew that love for you and that joy to serve you each and every day. Lord, I thank you for my friends and my family. And I ask that you will continue to bless them, those that are on the prayer line and those that will be joining us, Lord. I just want to glorify and magnify your name, Lord. Help us, Father, to be mindful of the time we're in. Help us to be true disciples. Help us to be Bereans, studying the word. Hear a little, dear a little, Lord, and also sharing with others, because we know that iron sharpeneth iron, and we're here to lift up your name when all said and done. Lord, we thank you for the young ones, the youth in our family. Help us to be a right representative of you to them, Lord. Please be with those that are sick among us, those that are going through financial problems, mental problem, heartache, and suffering at this time, Lord. Be with them. Lord, I pray that they will call upon you and turn to you, not just in time of need, but also in time of joy, that they will call upon you also and give you thanks and glorify and magnify your name. Lord, please continue to help us and direct us in our workplace, at home, at church, in our ministry, Lord, wherever we go, that we will be representative of you, Lord, that others will see that we have been with you, that we love you, and that our life will testify of your goodness, what you have done for us, and what you can do for those around us. Father, if I fail to ask you for a blessing or fail to bring up a situation or someone's name, please, Lord, help them anyway, Lord, despite of my not interceding or don't remember those that have asked for prayer, Lord. You know their situation. You know them by name, Lord. Even Stacy, as she's seeking a job, Lord, I ask that you will impress the heart of the manager, the director, Lord, of that job, Lord, that you'll be the right person for the job, Lord. Again, Father, I thank you even for Charmaine as she's going through hardship with her home, Father, and her and her child will be needed a place to stay, Lord. Please be with the family, Lord. Please help them, Father. And I thank you for Sister Powell, yet so far, but yet so near. May you continue to provide for her and the children in Jamaica and the community, Lord. And Pastor Jones and Brother Udy is there at a health fair, I believe it's in New York, with their family. Please be with them. Please continue to protect them. And I pray that your mighty angel will continue to soften the hearts of people so that they can accept the gospel. Lord, we thank you ever so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you again, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And I pray that all had a blessed week. So this is Reform Thursday, Health Reform Thursday, and we just want to share some health tips this evening. We just also want to share a memory verse or Bible verse or devotional and intercede for each other, keep each other in prayer, and encourage each other at this time. So please go ahead and press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading so that I can open your line and acknowledge you. And I'll go ahead and share Psalms 139 and verse 23 and 24. Psalms 139 reads, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So we ought to ask the Lord that if there's any wicked ways in us, anything that will hinder us from drawing closer to Him, from Him hearing our prayer, from Him answering our prayer, from, you know, His love and care upon us and protection, if there's anything that we're doing or saying that's displeasing to Him, for Him to show us sin so that we can repent from those sins. Amen. So again, if you have a testimony, if you would like to offer a word of prayer, go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 12 reads, "Blessed is the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." So the Lord has promised us to receive the crown of life. So we ought to endure temptation, not to give in to it, to be overcomer. And we can do that with the strength of the Lord. Amen. And if we fall, you know, God will is there to pick us back up and to help us, you know, to press on, to continue this fight, because we know it's a spiritual fight that we're in, and we know we need the Word of God. You know, we need the blood of Jesus for us to endure, for us to succeed and be overcomer. Amen. Again, I just want to thank you for joining us this evening. And I just want to welcome each and every one of you. If you're a new caller, you can press 1 and tell us your name and where you're calling from. Again, we're just sharing our testimony, prayer request, scripture reading. If you have a thought or a devotion that you would like to share, go ahead and press 1. And also health tips that you would like to share to encourage the brothers and sisters this evening. Okay, I'll go ahead and open the line for 508-838. Thank you for joining us. Your line is now open.
Good night, Sister Carla. This is Sister Richardson. And I just want to share a little devotion I read this morning, and it said, "Oil for a lamp." The memory text is taken from, "The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp." Matthew 25:4. The two classes of watchers in the parable of the 10 virgins represent two classes who profess to be waiting for the Lord. And remember, this is not talking about those who are outside. It's talking about church people, Seventh-day Adventists. They are called virgin because they profess a pure faith. But the lamb is represented, the Word of God. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So in order for us to be in communion with God, we have to have God words in our heart, so that the Holy Spirit also can reveal His word to us. So we have to have the Holy Spirit. In the parable, all the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. All had lamps and vessels for oil. For a time, there was seen no difference between them. So with the church that lived just before Christ's second coming, all have a knowledge of the scriptures. All have heard the message of Christ's near approach and confidently expect His appearing. But as in the parable, so it is now. A time of waiting intervenes. Faith is tried. And when the cry is heard, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him," many are unready. They are destitute of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, the knowledge of His word is of no avail. I want to read it over. Without the Spirit of God, the knowledge of His word is of no avail. The theory of truth, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, cannot quicken the soul or sanctify the heart. Without the enlightenment of the Spirit, men will not be able to distinguish truth from error, and they will fall under the masterful temptation of Satan. The grace of God has been freely offered to every soul, but character is not transferable. No man can believe for another. No man can impart to another the character which the fruit of the Spirit work in. We cannot be ready to meet the Lord by waking when the cry is heard, "Behold the bridegroom," and then gather up our empty lamps to have them replenished. In the parable, the wise virgin had oil in their vessels and with their lamps. Their light burning an undimmed flame through the night of watching. So the followers of Christ are to shed light into the darkness of the world. Through the Holy Spirit, God's word is a light as it becomes a transforming power in the life of the receiver. By implanting in their heart the principle of His word, the Holy Spirit developed in men the attribute of God, the light of His glory. His character is to shine forth in His followers. Ask God to give you much of the oil of His grace. So we feel we need the working of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, we are nothing. And what I learned that my husband can't transfer what he has to me, but we can study together and I can gain my own experience, but He cannot give me anything. It's only through the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, that we can do the right thing and live the right way. So we have to have oil in our lamps, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit, and the lamp represents the Word of God. May God bless us. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Richardson, for sharing that. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is so true. And we, like you said, you know, husband and wife can't save each other, or, you know, we can't save the children. They have to accept the Lord for themselves, and they have to have that personal relationship with God for themselves. No one can have it for each other. And we do need the Holy Spirit. We do need the Word of God to help us through these trying times, just like Job, you know. He didn't give up. He is a good example for each and every one of us. His friends came, you know, they couldn't help him. He had to go through that experience by himself, but they encouraged him for a while. And we know his wife told him to curse God and die, but he was a man determined to do God's will and to show, be a good example, you know, for us now that as we're reading, and for the world that's looking on, to show that God still have His true people here that will not sin. Amen. I'll go to the next caller. Thank you again for joining us, brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you would like to share at this time. Press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will indicate to me that you would like to share either offer a word of prayer, read a scripture, or give a testimony. Amen. I'll go ahead and open the next line, which is 225-337. Your line is now open.
Good evening. Make sure. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Leola calling from Baton Rouge. No, I've moved. Praise God. I moved to another city in Louisiana, so I'm calling from Gonzales, Louisiana. And I just want to thank the Lord for being able to come on the prayer line tonight. But I also like to read just a couple of scripture. And I'm reading from Genesis chapter 6, and I want to start at verse 5, and I want to read verse 6 and verse 8. And it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." In verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And I want to read the spirit of prophecy, and it's in my Bible under the bow shows Christ's love, which encircled the earth. So the God made a promise to man that he'll never flood the earth the way he did the first time by giving us the bow. So I would like to read it. It says, "As we look upon this bow, the seal and sign of God's promise is to man that the tempest of his wrath should no more desolate our world by waters of a flood. We contemplate that other than finite eyes are looking upon this glorious sight. Angels rejoice as they gaze upon the precious token of God's love to man. The world Redeemer looks upon it, for it was through his instrumentalities that this boat was made to appear in the heaven as a token or covenant to the promise to man. God himself looked upon the bow in the clouds and remembered his everlasting covenant between himself and man." As I was reading that this morning, sisters and brothers, I thought about when the day that my husband and I, they had said it was going to be a tornado in our area, although we were having a storm. The storm has passed, although a lot of trees and twigs and all those things fell on top of our trailer. I said, "Lord, just keep us in this trailer." And also, when they said the tornado, I said, "Honey," I said, "we got to move this trailer now. We ain't no worrying about no tornado because under the tree, because there was many trees falling and uprooting out of the ground." I said, "If anything, if a tornado come to push us over, but I don't want to see a tree on a big, large tree uprooted out the ground fall on top of this trailer." So we pushed early that morning while the tornado was moving. We left and we came to Gonzales. So I just want to give God thanks because he didn't allow nothing to happen to this trailer, even moving during a tornado. So I just want to thank the Lord for his blessing as he promised to us that the bow in the cloud is a promise of his love to man. So I just want to thank God for his grace and his mercy and his patience. Oh, my Lord, thank you, Jesus. So, yes, Sister Carla, I'm going to just offer a short prayer for my brothers and sisters and all the blessing God has bestowed upon us, because many times I heard that people was in California in earthquakes, and praise God, I didn't hear too many people, nothing happened, like people getting hurt. And even the hurricanes around here, a few people died, but I just want to thank God for nobody in our church or that we know got hurt. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We want to thank you, Lord, for your love that you bestowed on each one of your people. You said if we keep your commandments, Lord, you said that no evil will befall us. But, Lord, as we come to you, humble, Father, continue to give us the strength that we need to go before you in prayer and to worship you, serve you, Lord, and that we will keep your word, Father, in our heart, in our mind, and then show others also the word of God by giving them some literature, sharing the word, praying for them, Lord, doing your will. Father, we just thank you right now for this prayer line. We lift this prayer line up to you, Sister Caller, Brother Judy, all my sisters and brothers, Sister my sister Richardson, Brother Richardson, Sister Power, especially the work she's doing in Jamaica, Lord. We just pray that you continue to keep her, Lord. Be with her, Lord. Watch over her. Protect her, Father, in Jamaica, Lord. And she out there doing your will, Lord, Father, working with those children, showing the children the love of Jesus, to turn the children to Jesus. So, Father, I thank you right now. And also, Lord, I'm asking that you continue to work with this prayer line, Father, even to have other workers to come help, Lord, on the prayer line. And, Lord, continue to bless us with the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, Lord. Send down your Holy Spirit, Father, to strengthen us and to convict us, Lord, of sins, and also to continue to, God, lead and guide us, Lord, Father, and to show us the way as we continue in your word. So, Father, thank you, Lord, and continue to bless all my sisters and brothers, especially those that have been on this prayer line for years. In your son Jesus' name, we also lift up Sister Rosemarie. Thank you, Father. In your son Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Caller, for opening my line. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing. Man, praise the Lord that the tornado did not do any damage to your trailer or, you know, anyone that you know. And we also have to keep those that was harmed or you know, didn't have a home because of the tornado. We need to keep them in prayer because we know it can happen to anyone. So, but we know the Lord will protect us if we call upon him in the time of need. He will protect us, but he just don't want us to call upon him in the time of need. He wants us to be faithful stewards of his blessing and to share with others his love and his word so that they will have an understanding of the word of God for themselves and they will have a closer walk with him. Amen. And I just want to share a couple of scripture reading. If no one else has a testimony or scripture reading, I'll just share a couple more and then I'll share a little health nugget. Amen.
Psalms chapter 4 and verse 6 read, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us." So the Lord will lift up the light of his countenance upon us. Amen. Also, Psalms chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." So we know the wicked, you know, they're very prideful in their countenance, which means their face, their expression upon their face is proud and you know, standoffish, and they will not seek after God because they think that they're okay, they're good, you know, they're taking care of themselves. But we know God is not in their thoughts. So their mind is continually on themselves, how to make more money or please themselves. But we know if they don't turn from that evil way, that they will not have a part in the kingdom of God. And also, Psalms chapter 21 and verse 6 read, "For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance." Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line. Amen. For the next caller is 757-525. Thank you for joining us. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. This is this is Cornelia.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I can hear
okay,
you.
Hello,
go ahead.
Hello, Carla. Yes, my scripture is Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, and the truth endures to all generations. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Cornelia, for joining us. Thank the Lord for you and for friendship and just knowing you and, you know, able to work with you and to continue with the friendship. May we continue to encourage each other, and I pray the Lord will continue to be with you and your family. Amen. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 reads, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." So we, by encouraging others, we can sharpen, we can make the countenance, the expression on others' face joyful. If they're sad or crying or have worries or pain on their face, we can bring a little sunshine in their life. Amen. And just pray with them, encourage them, you know, bless them with something, you know, once we know their need and we're able to help them. That's the Lord, what the Lord requires us to do. And I just want to read a little note from my Bible at the bottom. It says, "The value of a friend. Things will go wrong with everyone. Sadness and discouragement press every soul. Then a personal present, a friend who will comfort and impart strength, will turn back the darts of the enemy that are amid to destroy. Christian friends are not half as plentiful as they should be. In hours of temptation, in a crisis, what a value is a true friend." Amen. Satan at such times sends along his agent to cause the trembling limbs to stumble. But the true friend who will counsel and who will impart magnetic hopefulness, the common faith that uplifts the soul, oh, such help is worth more than precious pearls. Amen. So we need this type of friend that can pray with us, that can call us, that can text us and encourage us. Amen. It's nothing like having a friend to tell you that God loves you and they love you too, and they're sincere about it. Amen. I'll just like to share a health nugget. First, this is about the foods that are not good for us, and they're GMO foods. Many of our food that was healthy at one time is GMO. So if it's not organic, we have to be very careful, because the food are GMO and there's no nutrients in them. They're made in a lab. Sometimes they look big, but they don't have no nutrition. It doesn't taste as well as it used to, and it will affect their body. And these are the foods: corn, soy, canola oil. 57% is genetic engineer canola oil, alfalfa, sugar beets. You got to be careful with those. Cotton, even papaya. That's a fruit that I really enjoy, papaya. Summer squash also. Animal products, microbe and enzyme, potatoes, and apple. So So be very careful with these fruits, and also those fruits like strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, try to get those GMO, because if they're not, they're sprayed upon, they're not good for our body if they're not, if they're not organic. So try not to get GMO and get organic. So I'll read off a couple things that are really good and what the benefits of them are. And one is neem, N-E-E-M, neem. Neem support oral, you know, as a good for like a mouthwash. It's good for your skin and scalp. This is neem oil, and it's and healthy functioning of the immune system, also the liver, intestine, and heart. So neem is good. Another one is saffron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N. Saffron supports healthy glucose, also your metabolism, digestive, and brain function is good for that. Skin, the eyesight, heart, and hormonal health. And that's saffron. Moringa, M-O-R-I-N-G-A, supports healthy nerve system. It's good for your skin, and it's also good for the male reproductive function and the glands, the woman, mammary, the woman, glands function in the woman. And licorice root, it supports nervous system function, immune health, respiratory function, oral also, and skin health. And that was licorice root. And then we have turmeric. Turmeric support immune health, the circulation, circulatory system, heart health, brain function, and the digestive health. And that's turmeric. Then we have cardamom. C-A-R-D-A-M-O-N, cardamom, support digestive health, respiration function, your kidney, which is very important, kidney, liver, you know, those are really important. We got to keep them healthy, kidney function, and oral health. Then there's another one, holy basil. Holy basil support healthy immune function and also the skin, the liver function, the nervous system, and their circulation, and that's holy basil. Then we have ashwagandha. A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A, ashwagandha. And it supports healthy reproductive function, immune function, also this, you know, help you to sleep, hormonal function, bones, hair, and skin. And this is ashwagandha. And then we'll look at cinnamon. Most people have this in their kitchen cabinet. Cinnamon support digestive health, glucose, metabolism, heart health, and brain function. And this is cinnamon. Cumin, C-U-M-I-N, support healthy digestive system, circulation function, brain health, and liver function. So these are good for each and every one of us to take a look at these different herbs, these different oils to use to help us so that we can have better function of these organs
And also it's good for our skin, our hair. So God have created these things for our health. So as we learn about them, let us share with others and let us use them to the glory of God instead of pills. People sometimes are quick to use pills, but if we can use the herbs and the natural things, those are better for us. Amen? Okay. I don't know if there's any testimony. Any more testimonies or prayer requests, or if anyone would like to offer a word of prayer, you can go ahead and do that. The floor is open. If you can press 1, amen. If you already press 1 and if you would like to pray, please press 1 and then press 1 again, so that will indicate to me that you would like to offer a word of prayer. Or you will like to, if you didn't give your prayer request, you can do that. Amen. I'll just like to read something from Spirit of Prophecy. It says, "The Lord purify the heart very much as we air a room." So we need to, in the rooms in our house, we need to open the windows so fresh air can come into the house, air out the room. We do not close the door and window and throw in some purifying substance, but we open the doors and throw wide the windows and let heaven, purifying atmosphere, flow in. Amen. The window of impulse of feeling must be open up towards heaven, and the dust of selfishness and earthliness must be expelled. The grace of God must sweep through the chamber of the mind, and the imagination must have healthy themes for contemplation. And that is so true. Just, you know, today driving, you know, my mind, you know, you think about things that have happened, and you think about all these things that's happening to the young children, and kids are being kidnapped, and you just wondering what is taking place. And, you know, it's just like, just fill your hearts with sorrow and your mind start drifting, and then you have to call upon God and, you know, the scripture, or sing a song of meditation to get your mind back in one accord with God, and just pray for these family, pray for these children that they're not harmed and that God will protect them and that they will be returned safely. Amen. Okay, my computer just went down. So I'll offer a word of prayer as I try to get my computer back up to my reading. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters. I want to thank you for blessing them. I want to thank you for supplying their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Lord. I thank you even for us being able to come together. We're in different states, Lord, but we're still able to come together and testify of your goodness, to share your love, to share a word of encouragement, to lift up the prayers before you so that you will hear them and answer them according to your will, Lord. Please bless us this day. Give us health and strength. Be with our children in a mark where you know our children. You know what they're in need of. You know how they're running and trying to avoid you, O Lord, but we know you are everywhere. You see everything, Lord. There's nothing hidden from you. And help them to know that what they really want, what they're really seeking is you, Lord. The love of friends, the love of others will not satisfy, Lord. Only you can satisfy what they need and what they're looking for ultimately, Lord. Please soften their hearts so that they will accept you before it's too late, Lord. Father, we just thank you for each family representative tonight, Lord. We ask that you will be in the midst of the family. You know the struggle that goes on in family and marriages, Lord. You know the ups and downs. It's nothing but the devil trying to destroy the home. Lord, I pray that you will be with the families, that they will come together as one and pray, and they'll see how quick that enemy will flee from the circumstances, situation, because we know that we'll have trial, we'll have temptation, but we know that we can overcome with your power, O Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just magnify and glorify your name right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'll continue reading. And every element of the nature must be purified and vitalized by the Spirit of God. He who lives the principle of Bible religion will not be found weak in moral power. Amen. Read that again. He who lives the principle of Bible religion will not be found weak in moral power under the enabling influence of the Holy Spirit. The taste and the inclination become pure and holy. Nothing takes so strong a hold upon the affection, nothing reaches to fully down to the deepest motive of action, nothing exerts or portends an influence upon the life and gives so great firmness and stability to the character as the religion of Christ. It leads to even upward, inspiring him with noble purpose. So it leads the possessor even upwards, and it's inspiring him or her with noble purpose, teaching him, you know, a better way of deportment, and imparting a becoming dignity to every action. Amen. The church is the object of God's tenderest love and care. If the member will follow him, he will reveal his character through them. So God wants to, and he will reveal his character through us. So let us be amongst 144,000. Let us be amongst those that seeking after the righteousness of Christ. Continue. He said to them, ye are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Those who walk and talk with God practice the gentleness of Christ in their life. Amen. Forbearance, meekness, and self-restraint are united with holy earnestness and diligence. As they advance heavenward, the sharp, rough edges of characters are worn off. Amen. And godliness is seen. The Holy Spirit, full of grace and power, works upon mind and heart. The heart in which Christ makes his abode will be quickened, purified, guided, and ruled by the Holy Spirit, and the human agent will make stupendous effort to bring his character in harmony with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we know that all things are possible, brothers and sisters. So be faithful and trust in the Lord, and do not give up. You know, it might be rough at time, but do not give up. And I just wanted to see if Sister Richardson is in a position to give us a word of prayer. Sister Richardson, I'll open your line. I don't know if you're in a position to give us a word of prayer.
Okay.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful, O Lord, that we can come, O Lord, linger a little moment, O Father, this evening, O Father, to come on this prayer line, O Lord. Thou knowest, O Father, the time that we are living in. Thou knowest we are living in serious time, O Father, now. And people who pray together, brothers and sisters who pray together, will stay together. So we thank you, O Lord, to know that we can come and that we can come boldly to your throne and find grace in time of need. We thank you, O Lord, for today that we have spent. You have kept us. You have watched over us. You have done so many wonderful things for us, O Lord. We thank you for your words, because it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will baptize us today, O Lord, this moment, this minute, O God, because without the Holy Spirit, our life will be destitute. We will be naked and wretched and poor and blind, O God. So we come before you, O Lord, and to buy gold, try in the fire, which is faith and love, and to be covered with your righteousness, O Lord. We need you in our life as we never need you before. We are living in such a dangerous time. We are living in time, O God, as we see, O Lord, we can even see prophecies are fulfilling in our very eyes, O Lord. And now it's time, O Lord, that we get up. As what the reading say, we cannot, O Father, when the bridegroom say, put in appearance, to say we're picking up our lamps, because it will be too late. But help us, O God, that we'll make our calling election sure. I pray for each family who are listening on this prayer line. O Lord, we pray, O Lord, that you'll create in each one of us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Help us, O Lord, send a revival and a reformation to work among us, O God, so that as we pray for each other and as we lift up our holy hands, O God, our life will be changed. Our life will be in such a way that others may see Jesus in us and led to glorify thee. So we pray a blessing upon us, those who are sick, those who are, O Lord, who are complaining, O Lord, of pain, O Lord. We are the great healer. When Jesus was on this earth, not a sick person was in his midst. So we pray, O God, that you will heal us, O God, of our sickness, both physically, spiritually, and mentally. Bless us and keep us and help us all to be faithful. As we trust you and as we serve you, we ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Richardson, for that prayer.
You're
Amen.
Welcome.
Now, I'll play a short clip, and the title is Word to the Little Flock. And by Brother James White. So I'll play a short clip before we depart. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be blessed by this message and be encouraged. Amen.
The time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah 30:7. By comparing Genesis chapter 32 with Jeremiah 30:7, and the prophecy of Obadiah, we may see that Jacob represents believers, and Esau represents unbelievers. I doubt not but these two characters will be brought out and clearly seen in the closing strife with the image beast, which is just before us. See Revelation 13:11-18. Jacob's trouble was when the messengers returning to him said, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Genesis 32:6-7. The true saints will be brought into a similar situation at the time of the fulfillment of Revelation 13:11-18. Not that the saints will be killed, for then none would remain till the change. But to fulfill this prophecy, a decree must go forth to kill the saints, which will cause fear and distress. When Jacob was troubled, he wrestled with the angel until the breaking of the day. Genesis 32:24. In the last closing strife with the image beast, when a decree goes forth that as many as will not worship the image of the beast shall be killed, the saints will cry day and night and be delivered by the voice of God. Then the house of Jacob shall be of fire, and the house of Joseph of flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Obadiah, 18th verse. I have not been able to see anything in our past and present history which answers to Jacob's trouble and the day and night cry of the elect. Luke 17:7. I have been astonished at some of our brethren, while they have urged us to go about the work of crying day and night for deliverance. Not long since, I was in a meeting where the sentiment prevailed that if all would then go about the work, they might pray Christ down to the earth in 24 hours. It is clear that when the time comes for this cry, that the elect will have the spirit of prayer poured upon them. And I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, etc. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart. See Zechariah 12:14, Ezekiel 7:15-16. When Jesus has finished his work in the heavenly sanctuary and comes out upon the great white cloud with his sharp sickle, then will be the time for the day and night cry, which is represented by the angels crying to Jesus to thrust in his sharp sickle and reap. Revelation 14:14-15. The desire and prayer of every pure soul is, Thy kingdom come. But the special mourning, praying time of the saints is evidently yet to come.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray before we depart, brothers and sisters. Again, I just want to thank you for joining us. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one that has come and laid their petition before you, Lord, the petition of others, brothers and sisters, friends, family, Lord. You know your people. You know how they have strayed, Lord, and we know we are in the last days. And what will come upon us, Lord, pen cannot even write. We can't even describe it, Lord. But you know, Father, and you have made a way out for us if we will trust and believe and hold on to your unchanging arms, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to afflict our soul. Help us, Lord, to come to you and to present ourselves, our wretchedness, our brokenness before you. And to come to you day and night, Lord, to plead and intercede, Lord. Forgive us where we have not done it. Forgive us when we have put the world, things of the world, before you, Lord, and not spending that thoughtful hour, that time with you, Lord. Please help us to be about your business, because this world and the things of this world will burn, Lord. Lord, Brother Udy asked for a special prayer also, as him and Pastor Gregory Jones are out witnessing to others as a help fair, Lord, sharing the different books, the help book, spirit of prophecy books, Steps to Christ, Lord, medical missionary workers are out doing your word, Lord, a work, Lord, and calling the people to change their ways, their diet, Lord, their way of living, to choose healthy food, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will impress them, Lord, will be with the brothers, Lord, and everyone that's out there doing the work that you have called them to do. Continue to protect them and guide them and supply them strength, Lord, when they're discouraged. Supply their needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you for my dear sisters and brothers that have joined us. May you continue to bless them. May you give us a good night, Lord, and may you wake us up to see a new day. And as we are preparing for your holy day of rest, the blessed Sabbath that you have created for us, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we just glorify and we magnify your name right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Father, giving you thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us, and may you have a good
Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen.